Albuquerque, New Mexico calls itself the capital of ballooning. And in case you weren't convinced, this month the city opened the Anderson Abruzzo Albuquerque International Balloon Museum. It's named for two famous balloonists. And reporter Teresa Schiavone has a personal connection to their story.
My son and I sorted through some old boxes of video cassettes.
Here we go. Double Eagle 1, Double Eagle 2.
These were my late husband's air checks. Charles Goudelet was a newsman for KOB Television in Albuquerque. He chronicled the travels of Ben Abruzzo and Maxie Anderson as they tried to cross the Atlantic in their Double Eagle balloon.
At 8 a.m. this morning, Albuquerque time, the aeronauts approached the French coast. By sunset, just west of Paris, it was a perfect touchdown. For miles, Parisians had followed Double Eagle in cars. News reporters were there in airplanes and helicopters.
This wasn't just a hometown story.
This is NBC Nightly News.
Anderson, Abruzzo, and a third crew member who came to spell them, Larry Newman, captured imaginations around the world.
Good evening. Three Americans from New Mexico crossed the Atlantic in a balloon and set it down safely in a wheat field 50 miles from Paris, flying the flags of the United States and France. It was the first time anybody had crossed the Atlantic in any really new or different way since Lindbergh.
They landed just shy of where Lindbergh landed 51 years earlier. Anderson had long dreamed of following Lindbergh's example, says his widow, Patty.
He thought about making it solo, and I put my foot down. I said, there is no way you're going to do that by yourself. And so we asked Ben because he knew Ben was just as wild as he was.
Anderson and Ben Abruzzo, like Lindbergh, were both pilots, adventurous souls, who had the money to finance their adventures. Anderson made a fortune in mining. Abruzzo was a real estate developer. They had tried to cross the Atlantic on the 50th anniversary of Lindbergh's flight.
That call sign is Delta Echo, Maxie.
I can't hear.
Their 1977 voyage ended in a rescue at sea off the coast of Iceland, and my late husband Charles was on the story.
After 17 hours of no communications, the decision was made. Abort.
Charles hitched rides on network jets, stayed ahead of the balloon, and got it all on camera for viewers in Albuquerque by himself.
We're talking about a local TV station with no crew.
Roger Beimer was Charles's executive producer.
You take the 16-millimeter film camera and thread the camera and sit it on your shoulder and take pictures, and then you put it in an aluminum box and ship it back to Albuquerque and go take more pictures. It was, in the television world, we call those one-man bands, and they still exist in some of the smaller markets.
Charles followed so closely on the heels of Anderson and Abruzzo that they gave him a crew T-shirt. My son and I gave it to the Balloon Museum, which sits on a grassy field where Albuquerque balloonists use the wind streaming from the Sandia Mountains to help them lift their rigs. Maxie Anderson often took off from this spot, says his widow Patty, and he would always find a good open space to land.
He would try and land in a schoolyard so that the kids could see the balloon and he could visit with them. And he was very interested in seeing that kids have a vision and feel that they can do anything and they could conquer anything.
Maxie Anderson died in a balloon race in 1983. Ben Abruzzo and his wife were killed in a small plane crash in 1985. My husband Charles died in 2002 after illness had taken everything but his spirit.
At 11:02 Greenwich time last night, aviation history was made. In Paris with Roger Beimer, I'm Charles Goudelet.
Charles's tapes are now a part of the permanent collection at the Anderson Abruzzo Albuquerque International Balloon Museum. For NPR News, I'm Teresa Schiavone.